Today I'm going to be giving a split sermon, and the title is, I'm a Humanist. I'm a Humanist. The title of the sermon today is a quote from one of my students in my ethics and social responsibility course. He informed me in one of his essays, quote, I'm a humanist, end of quote. Thus the title of this message. To have a student say this was really not surprising. The belief in humanism is the primary philosophy in the world today and impacts virtually every aspect of our lives. So in this message, I want to dive into the topic of humanism and show you how it has taken over most people's minds today and how a Christian can avoid being ensnared by humanism. And I think you will find it quite shocking as we examine how far humanism has spread. But first, I want to read some scriptures that will lay a solid foundation regarding who God is prior to our examination of humanism. Psalm 14 and verse 1. Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. Now, this verse speaks of the spiritually ignorant fool who has said deep down in his heart that God does not exist. Or, possibly, this fool believes he is his own God. Either way, this fool determines what is right and wrong based on his own human reasoning. His conscience is not guided by a higher power, but by his carnal lusts and desires. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Then over in Isaiah 44 and verse 6, Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. So from these verses we see that there is no God beside the God of Israel. There's never been any other true God in the past, and there will never be another true God in the future. Our God is the eternal God. He is the everlasting God. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 36. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 36. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then over in Psalm 41, verse 13, Psalm 41, verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Psalm 90, verse 2. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, before the Middle Ages in Europe, the source of all meaning and authority typically was an external God. The education of the conscience focused on memorizing scriptures or instilling obedience, and, of course, studying traditions. And that began to change around the 13th and 14th centuries. A new philosophy, system of beliefs, an educational system arose in northern Italy. It later spread throughout Europe, and that new system and philosophy placed central emphasis on the human rather than on an external God. Pioneers of the Renaissance humanism rediscovered classical texts from ancient Greece and Rome. And these ancient writings from pagan philosophers inspired them. The works offered a very different vision of life and humanity than the Bible. During previous centuries, the Bible was considered the inspired words of an external God. This belief changed over time, culminating in what is known as the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment is considered a philosophical movement. It eventually dominated Europe during the 18th century, and this philosophy centered around the idea that human reason, rather than an external God, is the primary source of authority. And based on the ideas of pagan philosophers such as Cicero, the goal of humanism is to guide people to a more enlightened way of life. Humanists believe that they will create a better world for future generations through human reason rather than divine revelation from the God of the Bible. Humanists reject the idea or belief in a supernatural being such as the God of the Bible. Humanists classify themselves as agnostic or atheist. Humanists have no faith in an afterlife, and so they focus on seeking happiness only in this life. Humanists say that we must renounce our belief in a great cosmic plan that gives meaning to life. There is no God, and therefore there is no plan of God. They see this life is all there is. Yet when you examine their philosophy closely, you find a cunning escape clause. If humans can somehow manage to find meaning without establishing it upon some grand cosmic plan, they say that it's not a contradiction. The problem is that humans deeply desire to have meaning in their life. Humanists realize that it is impossible to sustain human society without some sense of meaning. Therefore, the world's political, artistic, and religious systems must find meaning to life in another way that is not rooted in some grand purpose of an external divine authority. So what I'm about to tell you next should send chills down your spine. It's about us. Humanists believe that those who pose the greatest threat to global law and order are precisely those who continue to believe in the God of the Bible and his all-encompassing plan and purpose. This growing belief is evident today as Christians and Jews are coming under attack in both America and worldwide. Groups such as the Freedom From Religion Foundation, an atheist group, spend millions of dollars attacking Christians in the name of religious liberty. During the pandemic shutdown, churches were to remain shut in many places while Walmart, Costco, and even liquor stores were considered essential and allowed to stay open. In Canada, ministers have been arrested and jailed for conducting church services under continued COVID restrictions. Christians who oppose abortion or transgender school bathrooms are being labeled as terrorists. A newspaper headline screams, "Christian terrorists still pose a threat." Of course, Planned Parenthood and its culture of death is not considered a terrorist group. Yet according to Planned Parenthood's own 2019 to 2020 annual report, it committed 354,871 abortions in the fiscal year 2019, up by 9,199 abortions since 2018. Both abortion and infanticide are fruits of the humanist philosophy, which rejects the concept of the sacredness of human life. Can't be sacred, there's no God. This humanist position is based only on facts guided by human experience, science, so-called, or history. And there's no room for revelation from a divine being. Secular humanists, with its doctrine that God does not exist, has spread throughout the world and is shared today by millions. Many elites of this world are secular humanists, and the systems of this world are based on humanist philosophy. The systems of this world are based on humanist philosophy. Now, as we've seen, the Bible is very plain in stating two important things. First, only the fool says there is no God. And second, there is no other God but the God of the Bible. Period. The human antidote to a meaningless and lawless existence without God is a revolutionary new creed that has conquered the world during the last few centuries. The humanist religion worships humanity and expects humanity to play the part that God plays in Christianity. Yes, the humanist sees himself as God, and many aspire to achieve eternal life apart from God through transhumanism. Transhumanism is the belief or theory that the human race can evolve beyond its current physical and mental limitations, especially by means of science and technology. Whereas traditionally the plan of God and the hope of eternal life gave meaning to humans' lives, humanism reverses the roles. Humanism expects the experiences of humans to give meaning to the cosmos. According to humanism, humans must draw from their inner experiences the meaning of their own lives and the meaning of the entire universe. Now, to a Christian, this sounds crazy. But to a blinded world under the deception of Satan, this has great appeal. According to the American Humanist Association, The following is the definition of humanism. Quote, "Humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that, without theism or other supernatural beliefs, affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good," end of quote. In other words, they say they can be good without God. Now, this idea is, of course, in direct contradiction to what the Bible says. Psalm 14, verse 3. Psalm 14 and verse 3. "They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good." No, not one. And of course, we're familiar with Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous." No, not one. And over in Romans 3:12, it says that they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Humanists see that they must create meaning for a meaningless world. Meaning and authority, of course, always go hand in hand. Whoever determines the meaning of our actions, whether they are good or evil, right or wrong, beautiful or ugly, also gains the authority to tell us what to think and how to behave. Now we're getting to the nuts and the bolts of it. To the Christian, the Bible reveals the meaning of life, and therefore God has the authority to tell us what to believe and how to behave. God's role in our lives gives us meaning and the authority to provide laws and principles to achieve that meaning or purpose. Now, many of us first began to understand the purpose or meaning of life from reading the booklet, Why Were You Born? That was the first one I ever read. That booklet revealed to us God's purpose of bringing many sons to glory. We see that over in Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. "For it was fitting for him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." You see, humanism is very different. It says that human beings are the ultimate source of meaning, and that our free will is, therefore, the highest authority of all. Instead of waiting for some external entity to tell us what is right or wrong, we can rely on our own feelings and desires. Now, this message, as you may recognize, is as old as the Garden of Eden, where the serpent told Eve that she could decide what's good and what's evil. The serpent told Eve she could be like God. Genesis 3 and verse 5, we remember that verse very well. It says, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, from infancy, people are bombarded with a barrage of humanist slogans counseling us to do various things. Listen to yourself. Be true to yourself. Trust yourself. Follow your heart. Do what feels good. You know, the message to our youth today is be authentic. Be authentic. Of course, being authentic as a carnal human being is nothing more than doing your own thing as a sinner. You see, the humanist definition of being authentic is living your life according to your own values and goals. That's being authentic. Now, of course, this goes completely contrary to what the Bible teaches about our life. Over in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, we see that this verse totally contradicts the humanist philosophy. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." A little bit different from the humanist point of view, isn't it? Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So let us now examine how humanism has programmed the conscience of people in society so that they no longer see things as God sees them. We can start with the family. The institution of marriage is a divine institution ordained by God and is between a man and a woman. Also, an extramarital affair is a rebellion against divine authority. It is a sin, no matter what the lovers feel or think about it. So today, the institution of marriage is whatever man says it is. Men can now marry men. Women can now marry other women. There are now marriages taking place, believe it or not, between humans and sex robots. There's a whole community known as robosexuals who have given up on love with human beings and now look for love from silicon and computer chips. Whatever feels good and satisfies your own personal desires is okay. That's humanism. Of course, people have differing ideas about extramarital affairs. Still, no matter their stance, they tend to justify it in the name of human feeling rather than in the name of holy scriptures and divine commandments. Humanism has taught us that somehow something can be wrong only if it causes somebody to feel bad. For instance, murder is wrong, not because God of the Bible says so. Thou shalt not kill. Instead, murder is wrong because it causes terrible suffering to the victim, to his family members, and to his friends and acquaintances. It's all about feeling. Theft is wrong, not because some ancient text says thou shalt not steal. Instead, stealing is wrong because you lose your property and feel bad about it. If an action does not cause anyone to feel bad, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, the same logic dominates current debate on homosexuality. If two adult men enjoy having sex with one another and they don't harm anyone while doing so, why should it be wrong? And why should we outlaw it? It is a private matter between these two men, and they are free to decide about it according to their own personal feelings. Can you begin to see how the humanist thinking has become mainstream today? Whether it's homosexual marriage or some other thing. Listen to this one. If a young child is born a male and feels that they are a woman, we must allow the child to have a sex change. The whole transgender movement is not based on science or even psychology, but on feelings. In politics, we're told that the voter knows best and that the free choice of individual humans are the ultimate political authority. Yet, how does the voter know what to choose? The voter is supposed to consult his or her innermost feelings. I propose that most people today vote on emotions and feelings rather than sound reason and the candidate's character. Modern artists seek to get in touch with themselves and their inner feelings rather than with ennobling thoughts and God. No wonder we no longer believe in any objective yardsticks when evaluating music, art, or whatever. Instead, we turn to our subjective feelings. In ethics, the humanist motto is, if it feels good, do it. In politics, humanism instructs us that the voter knows best. In aesthetics, humanism says that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But is that true? Is beauty just in the eye of the beholder? Thanks to humanist philosophy, the very definition of art has been up for grabs. Today, art is anything people think is art, and they believe beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If people think that a urinal is a beautiful work of art, then it is. What higher authority is there to tell people they are wrong? In 1917, Marcel Duchamp purchased an ordinary mass-produced porcelain urinal, declared it a work of art, named it Fountain, signed it, and it has become one of Marcel's most famous works. It is considered an icon of 20th century contemporary art. In 1997, a Greek collector paid $2 million for one of the 17 copies released 50 years later by Duchamp's dealer. $2 million. Today, copies of Duchamp's masterpiece, quote unquote, are in some of the most important museums globally. And by the way, the copies are on display in the museum's galleries, not the lavatories. The rise of humanist ideas has revolutionized educational systems. Modern humanist education believes in teaching students to think for themselves. Sure, it's good to know what Aristotle or Solomon thought about politics, art, or economics. But since the supreme source of meaning and authority lies within ourselves, it is far more essential to know what you think about these matters than what these people think. You see, to the humanist, heaven has ceased to be a real place where somewhere above the clouds, and is simply an internal mental state. Even much of mainstream religion has succumbed to humanist philosophy today. The ultimate source of authority, then, is your human reasoning and your feelings. Since the humanist does not believe in God or a Holy Spirit, they also think there's no such thing as revealed knowledge. This idea goes contrary, of course, to the Bible teaching. John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So we see that there is revealed knowledge. But liberal education teaches us to think for ourselves because we will find all the answers within ourselves. Human reasoning is at the center of today's higher education. John Dewey is considered a father of modern public education. And Dewey rejected God and his word as central to education and replaced them with secular humanism. Dewey's ideas continue to reign in America's schools today. Thus, it came as no surprise when my university student wrote in his essay, "I am a humanist." Humanism is a growing philosophy. So how do we, as Christians, combat this ever-increasing satanic philosophy, especially with regard to our young people? First, we need to recognize humanism for what it is. I hope this brief message has helped you in this regard. Then, we must know and teach our children that God does exist and that we should diligently seek him through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We're very familiar with the verse, John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. That's the humanist idea, flesh, the flesh. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Okay, next, we need to know and teach our children that the systems of this world are under the sway of Satan. The spirit central to humanism is a spirit that belongs to this world. In contrast, the spirit at the core of Christianity is God's Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So we must understand which spirit is leading this world. It's not God's spirit. We must understand how to test the spirits, whether a spirit is of God or of the world. Here is one way we test the spirits. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Again, a very familiar scripture. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And finally, this is very important, we need to live the golden rule. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Matthew 7 and verse 12. And here we see the tie-in between Isaiah 8 and verse 20 and the golden rule. Matthew 7 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." That simple notion about the ethical treatment of others, expressed as the golden rule, is profound and encompasses the empathic essence of morality. One day, the belief in humanism will no longer exist. One day, everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Turn over to Philippians 2 and we'll read verses 9 through 11. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.